As humans, we are prone to forget that which is not constantly on our minds. Let me just prove it to you. Do you remember what you had for dinner last Monday night? Do you remember what my sermon was about last Sunday? Consider all the things that we do to remember things. We write important things down. We schedule reminders on our phones. And maybe you even go to the point that you tie a string around your finger to help you remember something. Whether it's an object or an event or a celebration, a memorial helps us to recall that which we do not want to forget. Memorials are not for the mundane things of life. They are for the significant things that we want to remember, for those things that have had an impact upon us. We have memorials for 9/11. We have memorials for those who have lost their lives in wars. Those are the things that we don't want to forget. Those are the things that we want to hold on to. And God has given us a memorial so that we will not forget the significant event that changed our lives for all eternity. I want us to look at the elements of memorial this morning. As we think about God's memorials, we see that memorials have always been a part of God's relationship with man. We can go all the way back to Abraham. And when he went into the land of Canaan, we see that the Lord appeared to him and he made an altar there. That was that remembrance for him, that God appeared to him there. And God gave memorials to his people so that they would remember him, so that they wouldn't forget him, because God knew that man would forget. Let's just take Israel for a moment. They're proof of that. 3 days out after having gone through the Red Sea, they grumble and complain. They'd forgotten. They make a golden calf because Moses was gone too long, and they forgot God. They had forgotten so many times to do the commands that God had asked of them. And so God gave them memorials. He gave them the Sabbath day, a day devoted to the Lord, that there was to be no work done, that just as the Lord had rested on the seventh day after he created the universe, so they should rest as well. It was to be a weekly memorial for them. It was to be a remembrance that God had brought them out of the Egyptian bondage. In Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 15, there it says, "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day." He gave them a Passover feast. That this memorial feast was to be a yearly remembrance. That God had preserved the children of Israel, the firstborn sons, and had delivered them out of Egyptian bondage. In Exodus chapter 12 and verse 14, there it is recorded, "Now this day will be a memorial to you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you are to celebrate it as a permanent ordinance." Observance of this was a way that future generations could be taken back and relive what the children of Israel went through. We don't have time today, but with this Passover feast, they would recount, as they ate this feast, the head of the household would recount what went on in the land of Egypt so that future generations would know and understand, so that future generations would not forget God. In Exodus 12 and verses 26 and 27, it says, "And when your children say to you, 'What does this rite mean to you?' You shall say, it is a Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the house of the sons of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians, but spared our homes. We see that there was also stones from the Jordan. Not only did the children of Israel walk through the Red Sea on dry ground, but they get to the Jordan River, and God makes it so that they can walk through the riverbed on dry ground of the Jordan. And God says, Joshua, I want you to have the men get 12 stones. And you build an altar with those 12 stones so that you remember. And so that your children, when they see these stones and they ask, well, what is this for? You can say, we walked through on dry ground because of God. So God has always given his people remembrances, memorials, so that they can remember and not forget him. And we see that we are given a memorial as well. Christ desires that we remember him. He knows that we are forgetful people. He knows that we need a reminder of that which has the greatest significance, the greatest impact upon our lives, and that is our freedom from sin. He could have made anything into a memorial to remember him. I mean, just think about it. He could have made the exact location of his tomb known. And he could have said, I want you to come as saints. I want you to come once a year to this tomb to remember me. But he didn't. He could have made his actual cross that symbol of which we hold to and say, this is what it is all about. Here is his cross. But he didn't. He could have commissioned a sculpture to make a statue of him so that we could see, here is Jesus. But he went beyond man's memorials and he gave us his supper. He gave us a meal in which we can have fellowship with him. In Matthew 26 and verse 29, there it says, but I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. It's not just that we remember him, but we commune with him because of what he has done for us. We have fellowship with him. And it is that we not only have fellowship with him, but we also share this meal with other saints. That we come together as saints who reside in Concord. We assemble together to share in this meal. And saints all over the globe today are coming together to commune and remember Jesus. That's what he says. That's what I want for you to do. So let's just take a few moments and look at the three elements of this memorial. We take of the bread. In Luke chapter 22, in verse 19, it says, this, speaking of the bread, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Jesus broke the bread, signifying how his body would be broken for the sins of the world. That he would be that sacrifice for all the sins. In Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 through 6, Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 6, there it says, surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sins he carried away. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall upon him. See, as we eat this bread, we remember the suffering. We remember the pain. We remember the death that he went through for you and for me. That he was the sacrifice. He took our place. And he suffered because of sin. And that is something that we can tell our children. And the next generation after that, we can say, look, this is what it means. This is what Christ has done. And we remember that every Sunday. We drink of the fruit of the vine. In Matthew 26, verses 27 and 28, it says, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. Christ's blood is the blood of the new covenant. His blood is the ratification of that covenant. We could say that God's covenants from the very beginning have been dedicated or sealed by blood. We see that Moses in Exodus 24 and verse 8, there he sprinkled the blood on the people. And he said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. Thus it is the same for God's new covenant. That for that new covenant to take place, it required the shedding of blood. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22, it tells us, and according to the law, one may almost say all things are cleansed with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. You see, Christ's blood was the only blood, because he was the sinless God-man that could satisfy God's justice and the penalty for sin. Because God didn't say, okay, well, I'll just overlook it. God's justice demands payment for sin. He says, if this is sin, there is the penalty for sin. And it must be paid. And Jesus says, I'll take the penalty. I'll shed my blood so that you don't have to. And when we enter into that covenant with him, by becoming children of God, we recognize that Christ has died for our sins. We seek to follow God and his will. And we have forgiveness of our sins. So that when we take of the fruit of the vine, we then reaffirm our faith in this integrity, in this infallibility, in this holiness of this covenant. And we renew our participation in it. That every time we take of this, we are reaffirming to God, we are saying, God, I am a participant in this covenant with you. And I am going to seek to do away with sin in my life. And I am going to seek and pursue your righteousness when we partake of the blood that is represented through the fruit of the vine. But there is a third element, and that is that we eat this supper on the Lord's day. That God has given us a day to remember him. We see in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10 that John said that while he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. So there is this day that has been given to the Lord, if you will. We see that creation began on this day. We see then that God began his recreation of his people in his kingdom on Sunday. Why don't we eat this meal any other day? We ask that question, well, why couldn't it be that we eat it on Friday? Christ was dead on Friday. Why not on Saturday? It was the Jewish Sabbath. Christ was still in the tomb on Saturday. But Sunday is the day that Christ rose from the dead. Sunday is the day in which we have our victory. Sunday is the day in which we have our salvation, in which we have our hope. We have victory over death because He rose from the dead on Sunday. And so we participate in His supper on the day that He rose from the dead. And He tells us when to eat this. As we've already referenced in Matthew 26 and verse 29, He says, "But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When did His kingdom come? It came on a Sunday, on the day of Pentecost. It came on the day when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon man. It came on the day in which the church, that is His kingdom, was established. And we see that saints broke bread on Sunday. Acts 2 and verse 42 and Acts 20 and verse 7. So that we eat of the Lord's Supper on Sunday to remember His resurrection. To remember that He is not dead. We do not serve a dead king, but we serve a risen king who is here with us this morning. We have the greatest of all memorials set before us. And as we reflect this morning upon the three elements of this memorial, let us remember our Savior. Let us remember His life. Let us remember His death. Let us remember that He rose from the grave so that we could be saved from our sins.